Hello friends, thank you so much for coming again. I am Prasoon here. For all those who are new to my show, this is all about Yog Nidra and is designed for a bigger purpose. I speak about its science, research topics and its benefits. This episode is an extension of my Tower of Silence episode, and I call it as the inner cluster. When we put a pause on auditory stimulation, it's easier to hear our intuition, to become acquainted with the still, small voice inside. That's always whispering to us, but that we can't hear when our ears are tuned outside us. There's a Zen poem that says, "The truth is so clear that it's hard to see." Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, verse 16 says,
मानः प्रसादः सौम्यत्वम् मौनमात्मविनिग्रहः भावसंशुद्धिरित्वत् तपोमानसमुच्यते.
It means the serenity of thought, gentleness, silence, self-control, and purity of purpose. All these are declared as the austerity of mind. Austerity of mind is higher than the austerity of blood and speech. For if we learn to master the mind, the body and speech automatically get mastered, while the reverse is not true. Factually, the state of the mind determines the state of an individual's consciousness. Sri Krishna had stated in verse 6.5, "Elevate yourself through the power of your mind and not degrade yourself, for the mind can be the friend and also the enemy of the self." Silence, as we see here, is defined as the austerity of mind. But as we all know, silence is easier said than done. But do we feel it's infectious? Or does it make the skin crawl if it's too much? Silence can be the way of life, or the new operating standard per se, in just everything we do or plan to do. Silence can create a whole new world in front of us by actually reverse engineering our lives. Now it's like a new habit. It's not something we feel it every day, but we do have certain flashes at some point of the day during our daily course. And to adopt a new habit, we need to make some changes in our daily pattern. Mental models need to be created and acclimatized. What are these mental models? Mental models are how we understand the world. Not only do they shape what we think and how we understand, but they shape the connections and opportunities that we see. Mental models are how we simplify complexity, why we consider some things more relevant than others, and how we reason. It simply is a representation of how something works. We cannot keep all the details of the world in our brains, so we use models to simplify the complex into understandable and organizable chunks. sometimes it's not always good to just tread water. We need depth because it gives a better perspective and also builds a solid foundation. These models helps us to first tread water and then go deeper. How? It helps us to adopt silence better in our lives. We will see one of the models later in this episode. Silence has a structure of its own, and it's a very complicated construct. We can just say that it calms the mind, or it's a calm state of the mind. But as we can imagine, if something as complex as brain is calmed down by something we call as silence, it's not a simple thing. It's much, much bigger than we always thought of it. It all depends on how we understand it. The order of treatment defines its very existence and also the impact. Here's another way to think about it. When a botanist looks at a forest, they may focus on the ecosystem. An environmentalist sees the impact of climate change. A forestry engineer, the state of the tree growth. A business person, the value of the land. None are wrong. But neither are any of them able to describe the full scope of the forest. Convention has it that silence is a virtue. But silence is not uniform. Paul Goodman, writer, psychotherapist, and a philosopher, writes, "Not speaking and speaking are both human ways of being in the world. And there are kinds and grades for each. There's a dumb silence of slumber or apathy, the sober silence that goes with the solemn animal face, the fertile silence of awareness, pasturing the soul, whence emerge new thoughts, the alive science of alert perception, ready to say this, the musical silence that accompanies absorbed activity, the silence of listening to another speak, catching the drift and helping him be clear, the noisy silence of resentment and self-recrimination, loud and subvocal speech, but sullen to say it, baffled silence, the silence of peaceful accord with other persons or communing with the cosmos." Which one is more interesting? We need to see that. You can decide, always. We as humans always try to create a mental model that helps us fall back into default state. Because we are lazy guys. We never want to change. Let there be end of the world. And so is our brain. Our brain also has a default state. For a long time, researchers used silence as a control in experiments, testing the effects of sound or noise. After realizing silence was fascinating in itself, researchers started focusing more on the effects of silence than relegating it to control status. In one experiment, testing how the brain reacts to different types of music, silence was used as a control between the different music clips. But silence actually produced one of the most interesting effects. When compared with the so-called relaxing music, or even long silence before the experiment began, short, 2-minute silence pauses between the music actually proved more relaxing on the brain. It seems the effect of silence is heightened by contrasting it with the noise. Perhaps Our strong reaction to silence relaxing effects is related to how our brains work. When they are not bombarded by the outside world, research suggests our brains are never really quiet. Instead, they are always working, even when we are not actively engaged in a conscious activity. In fact, science suggests when we do engage our brain in a conscious effort, it actually overrides the brain's default mode, temporarily diverting resources to what we want to do. Complete silence then allows the brain to return to its default state or normal state and continue its processing. Our brain's ongoing background processing seems to be responsible for the sounds our brain makes too. For instance, when a song you know well is stopped in the middle of the chorus, your brain will often fill in the gap by creating the sound of the next line of the song. Isn't it fascinating? It's magical. You're not actually hearing anything, but rather creating that sound inside your mind. According to Robert Zator, an expert in the neurology of the sound, in the absence of the sound, the brain often tends to produce internal representations of sound. Now compare that with something like the minus 9 dBs of Orfield Labs' anechoic chamber in Minneapolis, the quietest place on earth according to Guinness, and you begin to see the stark sonic difference between the natural world we live in and the one contained within these artificial 3D sponges. Radiolab co-host Jad Abumrad, who decided to sit in a completely dark anechoic chamber for an hour, things can get weirder. In 2008, while sitting alone in a dark, soundproof room at Bell Labs in New Jersey, Abumrad heard a swarm of bees and the Fleetwood Mac song. Everywhere, the bees came first. About 5 minutes after Abumrad had sealed himself inside the chamber, during his hour-long stay, other faint sounds like wind blowing through trees and an ambulance seemed to appear and vanish from one or both of his ears. After about 45 minutes, Abumrad began to hear distant lyrics to a song that sounded as if it was coming from a neighbor's house. "Oh, I wanna be with you everywhere. The room is quiet, my head apparently is not," he said in a follow-up post on the Radiolab's website. Now, this is what I call the sound of silence. Well, we don't live in such hallucinatory, silent environments, so for us, it'll be all normal. What I call as white noise, even in the most quietest place in our homes, we will never experience that deafening silence. So yes, silence is interesting and weird. At the same time, we can learn to be quieter, at least try to be, worth an effort. Let's do this. Let's try a simple mental model. Let's sign a quiet time deal, few hours every week. An hour or two is also good to start with. And it's non-valuable, okay, and will be penalized if not followed to the T. Let's also put some penalties written down if not strictly followed. Let's not meditate. Let's not think. To think. Let's just flow for a while in those few hours. Can we all do that? No, it's not a me time, you time, he time or she time here. It's completely different. It's something that should flow effortlessly when you are engrossed in a discussion and then suddenly paused. That special moment it is. that time when a sudden calm revisited you when you were very, very happy? It's beautiful. It's not created in the mind, but pretends to be man-made. It's not mindfulness. No, don't use your mind. Please don't. Let's just stop doing anything for a while. It's like a stream of consciousness consistently stopping you to be silent. Don't do that. Yes, it's difficult, and let's make an effort to try this experiment. Also, sometimes it's really good to hear white noise, which enhances our soul searching for silence. A constant hum that provides solitude and is also very relaxing. There are interesting white noise apps on Android and iPhones, and also amazing noise generators. If you want to have a look, I have provided the links in the description of the episode. But let's promise, let's do this and see how things change around you. Let's share the feedback. What do you feel? Last but not the least, as Oliver Sacks recounts in his book Musicophilia, sometimes all it takes to trigger your own hallucinatory symphony is the prolonged silence of the calm open sea or the auditory monotony of a deep woods retreat. Thank you for being with me till now. Please let me know what all topics you want me to cover in future, and also how do you find this episode. You can send me a voice message on Anchor at anchor.fm/prason-majumdar/message. Thank you. Sat Chit Anand.